Tango Tango Papa 1930, November 4, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon from Dallas, Texas. So, came back to work a few days ago, and so I unloaded in Houston. It would have been, by the time the thing got unloaded, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning or so. 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I was able, fortunately, to go to there's a Love's truck stop that's not too far, maybe a couple of miles or so from wherever I unloaded at, the grocery warehouse where I unloaded at. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and fortunately, I found a couple of parking spots. That's pretty rare, because a lot of times you park and you go to that place in the daytime and you're going to have a hard time finding a parking spot. So I just got lucky that some people had left, and I was able to, they weren't the easiest parking spots in the world, but was able to back into one, and ended up having a 10-hour break there. And then after the 10-hour break was over, they finally sent a load, the only load that they had at that point. They had picked up today being September 4th, at Dallas at 10 p.m. tonight. Now, right now it is 2:38 p.m., so I've still got a few hours to go, and then at some point I'll drive over there and let them know that I'm there. They do have parking, so but I didn't want to get over there too early, because then there would be no food, because there's really nothing that I can remember. It's kind of an industrial park type area, and there's really nothing that's within walking distance, so as far as food to eat. So I just what I did last night when I got to the Dallas area here last night. There's a Love's truck stop that I went to, and of course it was jammed full at 6 p.m. last night, and so I was able to park in front of the fuel island. And then they've got in part of the country you have Hardee's, the eastern part of the country, and in the other part of the country you have Carl's Jr., and it's pretty much the same menu. There's a couple of little differences. Hardee's has a hot ham and cheese sandwich, but all the other menu items are pretty much identical between the two, Carl's Jr. or Hardee's. And so, but anyway, this is Carl's Jr. territory, but as I say, it's the same menu. So that's what I got, some Carl's Jr. burger, and a little over a mile, company yard is here. It's actually in Wilmer, Texas, and so I outside of Dallas, so that's where I came. And then this morning, well, it was around noon today, I was going to go back to that Love's maybe, one of the catering trucks came to the truck stop here, the terminal, the company terminal that has, this particular one has barbecue. They've got this little trailer rigged up with the barbecue thing on the back that actually burns wood. So I had that, and it was okay. It's $10, and they give you your choice of meat plus two different sides, They got vegetable sides, and so I got that, and that was fine. And then, you know, plus a drink. So then after that, I ate that, and then I'll just hang out right here. And then once I leave here, I'll stop at the Loves. Probably I'll leave here around 6 or 7, and then I'll stop at the Loves and get some more, you know, another sandwich so I have something for dinner. And then go on over to the place where I picked the load up at, which is about, it's 23 miles from here. So it's, you know, it's kind of closer to, it's not really in central Dallas, but it's closer into Dallas. It's actually in the Dallas city limits where I'm going to be picking the load up at. And so I will drive up there and then hang out and wait and pick the load up. And then I probably, after the load is loaded, there's a good chance that I'll just come back here to the company yard. It just depends. Come back here and just kind of take another break, as opposed to trying to drive all night. Really don't have to do that. The load that I'm picking up has two drops. The first one is in Johnstown, New York, and that's on today is the 4th, so we get 5, 6, 7. It's on the 8th at 7:30 a.m. And I, of course, I need to be there at 6:30 a.m. So I've got 3 days, and I think that's about 1,600 miles, which isn't, that's completely doable. So I've got 5, 6, and 7, and then the first drop unloads on the 8th, and then the next drop is drop and hook in Lewiston, Maine, the following day. So that would be on the 9th, and that's just whenever I get there. So that's what's happening load-wise. Weather-wise, it's actually quite nice here. It's now it has gotten cloudy. The sun was out earlier, at least somewhat. Now it's kind of mostly cloudy, but it's still very pleasant. It's about 71 degrees, and there's a kind of a pleasant, not much of a breeze blowing, but a little bit of a breeze, not bad at all. And so it's actually quite a nice day here. Yesterday in Houston, it was about 81, I think it is what it got up to. So pretty nice weather. So anyway, other than that, I am, you know, back at work, and things so far have been sort of slow. But sometimes that happens, and you know, not a whole lot. I just sort of take it as it comes, and sometimes I stay very busy, and then there's other times where it's it can be more sluggish, and so this seems to be one of the times where it's a little bit more sluggish, and some of that may have to do with how many loads are available, and then on top of that, then you get the, it just kind of depends on how it falls. Part of it's just chance when the load that you're, like a load that I'm on unloads, and whether or not I have time to get to the, pick the next load up. It just, so a lot of that just sort of depends, kind of on chance. So, but as I say, I just sort of take it as it comes, and as long as I'm able to pay my bills, I don't really kind of fuss over it, because there are plenty of drivers that are absolutely obsessed with, more or less sort of trying to maximize doing as much as they possibly can, and having as many, you know, as many loads as they can, and trying to, you know, be first in line or whatever. And I don't think it does them any good, because the way I look at it, it's kind of like the investing world. You have the dollar cost averaging, where you just keep putting money in, and the price may be up and the price may be down of whatever you're buying, but then it kind of averages out over time. And That pretty much seems to be the way that, at least this the type of trucking that I do, that seems to sort of be the way that it works. And so I found that it's best just to be patient with whatever it is. So, in any case, I've been continuing to kind of write a few articles here and there. I think I published about 7 articles for the month on Geek News Central for the month of October, and then I've published 1 so far in November. Don't want to overwhelm it too much. And most of them lately have been about kind of centered around the idea of productivity and computing, especially. And I've been, of course, I listen, for whatever reason, the Apple-related podcasts, I always find those more interesting. They're talking about their Apple devices and their iOS devices, and I always find those more interesting, and I'm not exactly sure why that is, but sometimes I'll hear these people talk about, you know, some of the podcasts, this one in particular, they're talking about this new iPad Pro, which has yet to come out, and the guys said, well, you know, a couple of the people have said that they're committed, quote-unquote, they've made the commitment that when the iPad Pro comes out, they're going to get an iPad Pro, and they're going to force themselves to use that exclusively if they go out and sit in Starbucks or whatever, or they're traveling around. They're not going to take their regular computers with them. They're just going to take their iPad Pro with the touch type cover and force themselves to work off of that. Well, good luck. And I'm sure you can write since it has an integrated keyboard, or it's not integrated, rather, but that cover is kind of like the Surface Pro 3 that I'm on right now. It's magnetic, and it attaches itself with a direct connection, and the typing experience is great. So I'm sure it should be decent on the iPad Pro. Now, the problem with the iPad, any iPad, trying to do anything, is that productivity-wise, there is no mouse. Now, of course, you've got the touchscreen. Touchscreens are great. But if there's no mouse, you need both. You really do. I've determined that I really need both. Touchscreens are fine for certain things, but then when you start getting into web page type things, you really need a touchpad. You need some sort of a mouse. You either need a touchpad, and then if that doesn't do, there's certain situations where, like video editing, for example, that I need the absolute precision that only a mouse can really give me. So I've got all the options, and I've got. This is a pretty small form factor, a very thin, light device with a 12-inch screen, whatever it is that I have on this Surface Pro 3. It's about 12-inch screen. I've really got the ideal thing. But I've got a whole computer. It's not deliberately crippled by not having a mouse or not being able to run real software. Of course, I still have my iPad Air, and I spend a fair amount of time on it watching videos, and I, you know, sometimes it's just easy, and it's there, and I grab it. And this morning, I found myself, I was doing something, I don't know, I don't remember what I was doing exactly, and I found myself, course, I have a Bluetooth keyboard cover on it, and I found myself trying to reach for a touchpad. Sorry, that's not going to happen on an iPad. Too bad. No touchpads on an iPad. That's forbidden. So as I've said before, iPads and other tablets, and even Android tablets, make great media consumption devices. They're great. Tablets are great for media consumption. But when it comes to doing things on them, let's say you actually want to write an article, or you want to interact with a web page, or you want to, like I'm doing right now, I'm recording a podcast, and I'm going to be, when I'm finished, it ends up getting mixed. Well, I kind of mix it as I go, actually, with this Adobe Edition 1.5. Kind of mix it as I go, and then it spits the MP3 file out at the end, and then I add the ID3 tags, FTP it to the server. So in the meantime, I'm on, you know, I get on my WordPress on the website and make the entry, and then point it to the file once the file's uploaded, and there it is. I have a podcast, new podcast episode. So I can do that on an iPad, but it's torture, you know. And I've done it on an Android tablet, and it's torture. And I've even done it on my phone, and it's torture there too, because smaller screens. But the biggest problem is lack of really precise control and a pointing device. Now, of course, with an Android tablet or my phone, I could pair up a mouse to it. That's entirely possible, that I could, one of the mouses that I have with me, I could pair that up with my phone and actually use the mouse with the phone screen. That's a pretty small, even at 5.7 inches, excuse me, that's a pretty small screen. Can't do that with an iPad though. Sorry. So, and I think the reason that Apple forbids the use of a mouse with the iPad is because they, you know, Steve Jobs said that they, you know, Apple wasn't going to make a netbook, and they were really afraid that the iPad would just be a touchscreen netbook. And but as I was saying in the last podcast, I think the netbook, and I wrote an article about it, the popularity of the netbook was really that happened, I believe, and kind of looking back at my own behavior and the behavior of others, I believe that the popularity of the netbook happened because manufacturers inadvertently dangled the possibility of having a real computer in a small form factor. Now, the problem with netbooks is that they, in many cases, they were sort of deliberately crippled as far as performance went. They were kind of deliberately crippled. They were kind of stuck them with them, you know, with the little Atom processors that weren't very powerful. And they did that because they wanted people to buy the more profitable, bigger laptops. But people really wanted the possibility of real productivity. And so this Surface Pro 3 gives me that in spades. That boots up within 5 seconds. It can be completely turned off, and I turn it on, it's booted up within 5 seconds. That's incredible. And even more than that, with this, the version that I have, the i5 processor, it is really remarkable how fast it crunches through video, things like video rendering or audio rendering. When I render these podcasts out into the MP3 file, it happens pretty quick, versus on a slower processor, that can take several minutes for it to completely render a long file out. And in this case, it sort of reduces it to seconds. With, you know, pushing a video out, like last night, after I drove from Houston to Dallas yesterday afternoon, and then I took that video from my webcam, and I've got my dash cam, which is set up to record in 1 minute segments. Now I can make those segments longer, but it just seems to work better if I put it into 1 minute long files. And so I end up with a bunch of little 1 minute long files that are sequential, you know, one after the other after the other. Drag all of those into Adobe Premiere Elements 14, and what I did then was use the time stretch feature to speed things up, in this case about to 1900%, so about 19 times faster than what the real time was, and you ended up with a trip between Houston and Dallas, the Houston area and the Dallas area, that ended up being, you know, passing in 12 minutes, what would is normally more like a closer to a 4-hour trip. So, and then render the file out, and it happens pretty quick. Compared to other computers, which could take, you know, you're talking 30 to 45 minutes, maybe, depending on the computer and the speed, for a file like that, or maybe even longer. In this case, it rendered the file out within just a few minutes. It's amazing. So I've got real performance with this Surface Pro 3, and yet it's just a tablet form. It's just a tablet with an attachable keyboard, and it's amazing what I can do with this. This is what I've been looking for years now. Now, how long is it going to take people to kind of catch on? I think there's a lot of people that are beginning to catch on, because starting with the Surface Pro 3, it really gained in popularity. And whether Microsoft, I think they know it, you know, because there is this idea of the two-in-one. So I think this idea, people are kind of tumbling to the fact that there really is a benefit with having a tablet that is also a real computer running real software. The normal software that you already own will run, you know, in this case, this Adobe Edition 1.5 is 10 years old, and it runs just fine on Windows 10. And then, of course, you have some, if you look online, there are people that are kind of bashing Windows 10, and really, if you read those articles, it's kind of thin, because they really don't have any complaints. Now, there may be some problems with upgrades. That's why I made sure I bought, you know, any machines that I buy now. I made sure that this Surface Pro 3 had Windows 10 pre-installed. And when I bought that, when I was home this last time, and I bought that Lenovo all-in-one computer for home, made sure it had Windows 10 on it. That was one of my requirements. Windows 10 had to be pre-installed, and then that way I don't have to deal with upgrading, because that upgrading and, you know, changing operating systems is always fraught with problems. It never fails, and that's absolutely true on the Apple side. So but there really is no reason, you know, if you want to travel light, quote unquote, then get a Surface Pro tablet with a decent processor, you know, at least I'd say at least an i5, and you got a machine that's not only light but is very capable, and you can do real productivity stuff with it, and not just think that you're going to, or without having to go through all of the painful gyrations that trying to do something on a crippled netbook, an iPad or an Android tablet. They're essentially crippled netbooks, but they're even crippled more so because they're running apps, and they're not running real software. They're not, you know, don't have any capability of running real software on a tablet, and that's a problem if you want to be productive. Now, if you just want to do media consumption, no problem. You know, or you just want to do interaction on social networks like Facebook, great, works good. But if you want to do real things, not so much. So anyway, I've got a little file here sent by Joel, and he's I listened to the first part of it, and he's talking politics, and so I don't I think he's kind of, from the listening to it, I think he's kind of down on the whole political thing, and can't say as I blame him. I have pretty much, I have no emotional investment in politics. Now, I do like Donald Trump, and I'll vote for Donald Trump. If Donald Trump ends up being the nominee, he's going to get my vote, and the, I know there are people that don't like him, and they don't think he, you know, for whatever reason, they don't think he's got the right personality. I've heard all kinds of different things, but the one thing I like about him, that, you know, is one of the big things I like about him, is that he is a bulldozer, and he has really bulldozed away a lot of the status quo, especially in the Republican Party. And the other thing that I like, that I really like about Donald Trump, is the fact that the establishment, and I'm talking about the establishment Republicans and the establishment Democrats, both, all of those people that, that feel like they, you know, they have something in kind of keeping the status quo as it is, the rotten status quo, they're scared of Donald Trump. And that's, they're trying to destroy him. They keep lashing out, trying to destroy him. And he's handled it right. And so far, they haven't. Every time they've tried, they've just ended up damaging themselves. You know, Jeb Bush now, thankfully, has dropped to 4% in the polls. We don't need any more Bushes. We've had too many Bushes and too many, you know, don't want. Don't want Clinton and don't want Bernie Sanders or whoever, but I'll take Donald Trump. Thank you. But if nothing else, the establishment on both sides, they're scared to death of him. And, you know, I don't care what you think about him otherwise, but, you know, and then ultimately, I'm not, you know, even if Trump ends up being president, don't look for things to dramatically improve. The real problem, unless Trump is able to kind of inspire people, the real problem is the morals. That's where the real problem is. And our morals, people have spoiled their kids and spoiled their kids. It's been going on for generations at this point. And that's, you've got too many people that are just, that don't want to work. They want someone else to pay their way. You know, they want to knock everything down, knock any kind of moral standards down, destroy the family. That's the, probably the biggest thing, is to destroy the family, and then you, once you've destroyed the family unit, and you know you make your family whatever you want to call it, you know, two guys living together with their dog as a family, or with their cat, or, you know, that I saw an article headline on Drudge earlier, and it said a man and his stepson want the right to marry. You know, well, why not? If we're going to have gay, if two men can get married or two women can get married, marriage means nothing. You know, if, because it used to mean, and it still really does, marriage is a, between a man and a woman, one man and one woman, and that's all it is, and that's the moral standard. Whether we, you know, we do try to pass laws saying it's something otherwise, it's, you know, it's like passing a law saying it's okay to kill your baby. Well, no, it's not. Doesn't make it right. And it, no matter how many laws you pass, it's still wrong. Sorry, but it's wrong. And you know that it's wrong. And forcing people to agree with you isn't going to make it right. It can't. Because there's there's something else, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, there is something else that sets that standard. Our Creator, and we do have a Creator, whether you think there's a Creator, whatever you think, or if it's just nature itself, there is a standard, and the standard is one man and one woman for human marriage. You know, people always like to cite animals. Well, there's homosexual animals. Well, okay, do animals get married? No. Do you have a dolphin weddings? I don't think so. Do your polar bears hold wedding ceremonies? And I don't believe so. So there is something that holds us to a different standard, and we all know the standards. No matter how we try to twist things in our minds and agree with each other that wrong is right and right is wrong, and try to stamp out any kind of standards, we still know that there are standards there. You go to any prison, and virtually all of the crooks, no matter how crooked they are, they know that they've done wrong. They know the difference between right and wrong. They may not like to acknowledge it, but they know the difference. Unless you have a true sociopath, which thankfully those are pretty rare, people know the difference. Even if they're wrong and they want to do wrong, they still know that they're wrong. So we've got too many people that have been spoiled, and the spoiled, rotten family unit's been destroyed, just absolutely trying to destroy it so that everything becomes normal. Then we can just have all the sex that we want, sex ourselves to death, eat ourselves to death, and no consequences because there's no family unit. That's, you know, just destroy it. Get rid of the family unit, and then, you know, hatch, you know, children out of government eggs in a government factory somewhere. That's where this goes, of course. Or that, you know, of course, I don't think it gets to that point because it collapses before then. But I like Donald Trump, because he's acting kind of as a bulldozer, and at least on the government side, and I think the potential is there for him to sort of bulldoze on the moral side, to kind of bulldoze people into doing the right thing, or to, you know, kind of bulldoze away the wrong, and then the right, we have a chance of getting back to, you know, of people coming back to their senses, being kind of shocked back into their senses. So that's but otherwise any of the politicians, I just don't hold out. There is no hope for a political solution. It can only happen either through, you know, if enough people suffer, or someone kind of, you know, is able to shock people back into their morals, and, you know, defining their moral senses again, sensibilities again. So, or at least enough people. You'll never get all of them, but so anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play Joel's comment, and I may end up doing a stop start on it. I don't know. As I say, I listened to the very first part of it, and I know he's talking about politics, and so we'll see what he says. So here's Joel.
Hey, Tom. I'm going to make you podcasting in. I kid. Yeah, I guess another November election has come and gone here in Ohio. We got one year until we're voting for the president again, which at this point I am not hopeful that I'm going to actually have anybody worth voting for. But anywho, just got me thinking about how the media twists things constantly. And one reason why I rarely will watch it. Case in point here, there was two bills here, kind of related. All right. One was issue 3, which is essentially the legalization of marijuana here in Ohio. Now, the media has, and that issue has gone down. All right. The media has completely twisted this. A lot of the news stations I saw post on Facebook basically said that Ohio said no to marijuana, and both medical and recreational use, and that's not entirely the case here. The bill itself, actually, if you read the whole text of the bill, it legalized it, but only for 10 select, seriously, select growers. Not everyone. If I wanted to open my own business growing marijuana, not allowed to do it. So that's what Ohio voted down. They didn't necessarily vote medical marijuana, recreational marijuana. They voted the bill down. And that, it was a complete twisting of what really happened. And the media just completely messed that one up.
Okay, well, let me interrupt. And while you were talking, of course, the media is biased. And there are still people that try to say that it's not, but it's really now, especially after this last Republican debate, which I did not watch. I deliberately did not watch because I knew it was going to be a joke. There are people now at this point, they can't deny the evidence is so overwhelming, they can't even deny that it's biased. But why does the media, while you're talking, it just kind of popped into my head. Why does, people have always had this question, why does the media twist things so much? Why are they so biased? Why can't they get the story straight? And one of the big reasons that they, of course, they're enablers and they want to, this kind of given, those type of people end up in the media. But why is it that they can't get anything right? Why is it that they twist things so much? And I think the big reason is because that's what the public is demanding. The public wants to be lied to. Why do we elect the wrong politicians? Why does the wrong, why does the girl in high school have a tendency to go after the bad boy? The one that's kind of a quasi-criminal. What is that? And it's for so people want to be lied to. The lie is exciting. The lie, and whatever it is always more exciting. Tell me a story, and the reason good news isn't, they never have good news is because it's not exciting. It's boring. Good news is boring. Tell us a story that's, we want the exciting stories. We want the stories that that are full of intrigue. And so even if there's no intrigue, we'll just make it up. And tell people what, tell them what they want to hear. Let's make it dramatic. That's what sells. Drama sells. So my suggestion, and I've done it. I still read a few little headlines here and there. I do not watch it. I've turned them off. Turn them off. That takes their power away. The only power that they have in any of those TV, those so-called news channels, the only power that they have is the fact that there are still people watching them. Turn them off. You turn them off, they'll go away. Same thing that's kind of happening to, I think, a lot of these cable channels, cable systems, the cable channels, the satellite channels. Once enough people kind of begin to really cut the cord, as it were, some of those are just going to have to go away because it gets to the point where not enough people are watching. So, but if you don't want to be influenced by, if you've got a demon, let's say you have, let's just do a little thought experiment and say that Satan pops up out of the ground in front of you. And he's laying here. He's laying there on the ground, and he's says, "Help me! Help me! Help me!" And are you going to feel sorry for Satan and help him? Are you going to feel sorry for him, or if he's there and he tells you a really super intriguing story and he's really charming, are you going to be pals with him and kind of do what he says? Sort of do what he's trying to influence you to do. Well, it's much more likely if you engage with in this case it would be Satan, that there's a real chance you're going to get sucked in. And so same way with watching any kind of news on television, turn it off. It's lies. It's not going to give you any kind of information that's reliable. Turn it off. You don't need to be entertained. Turn it off. You have to be able to have your own BS detector in this world. It's imperative. And then you can tell the difference between right and wrong. Why do you think, there's something terribly wrong with so-called science and scientists? A lot of the stuff is just lies, and they're coming up. You know, every day there's a new, some kind of new popular story that's just, obviously it's stupid and it's a lie and it's a fabrication. It doesn't make any sense. There was this story from a day or two ago that somehow Diet Coke, and I didn't even read the story, but somehow if you drank a Diet Coke, it increases your chance of a heart attack. Bullshit. That's ridiculous. You know, so I'm able to dismiss things like that just out of hand because I don't care if it's what it says, even if it has the word scientist or science attached to it, it's bullshit. It makes no sense. Toss it out. I don't care if it was a university study, so-called. It's ridiculous. Those people are idiots. I have control, and everyone should have control. Everyone, the problem is everyone doesn't have control, but ideally you should have control of what you believe and what you don't believe. And no one, you should never, if anyone says you have to, comes up to you and they tell you you have to believe this, you're better off if you just go in the other direction and just leave them, you know, just set them off. Even if, let's say you're in church and they tell you, you have to believe that Jesus is God. You know, that's a one that I like to bring up once in a while. Is Jesus God? I'm not going to tell you if I think Jesus is God or not. That's up to you to figure it out. But if I come up to you and I tell you that Jesus is God and you have to believe it, you have to, otherwise you're going to go to hell, well, you'd better run the other way. You better turn this off. If I ever say that, time to turn this off and find something that is some better way of spending your time. Don't ever accept something just because someone tells you that it has to be true, especially if they start applying pressure. And the media is good at applying pressure. How do they do that? Boy, they charm you. They're sucking on your ego. They're charming, and they make you feel good about yourself. Even if you're a rotten so-and-so, you feel good about yourself. You feel like you're so important because these people are dressed up in their suits, and they've got the men are dressed up in a suit and tie, and and that kind of makes you feel important. That you're watching this presentation, this professional presentation, and somehow in your own mind you feel like you're being catered to. And that's how they kind of get into your psyche, and then you, because they look right and you're kind of getting something, you feel like you're being catered to because of this professional, quote-unquote, professional presentation, then you end up opening your mind to their ideas, and they tell you what to think, and they tell you how to behave, and you think you're able to resist that, and the fact is you're not. Any more than you go, if you're in the wrong state of mind and you go to the used car dealer and he puts his arm around you and pretends like he's your long lost buddy and shakes your hand and smiles at you endlessly, you'd better watch your wallet. So that same type of thing. Even if you know what's going on, you can still, if you're the wrong side of your ego is getting something out of it, you're blinded to it. And you'll go along with it anyway, and then you after the fact, you, oh yeah, the pressure, the science, or the Salesman, well, yeah, he was applying pressure. Why did you buy it? Well, because I wanted to. I did that with my house. I've told that story many times. The house that I have right now, I am double-wide mobile home. The salesman was really applying the pressure to me. I had gone in there to tell him that I didn't want it, and he really applied the pressure, and then all of a sudden I flip-flopped. And I had a hard time admitting to myself afterwards. It took the longest time before I could even admit that to myself, that the reason that I bought that house, the reason that I ended up with the one that I have, is because I gave in to the pressure. I acted out of his pressure. He told me what to basically, through the pressure, caused me to flip-flop, and so I acted out of his will and did what he wanted me to do, and ended up benefiting him. As simple as that. Couldn't admit that to myself for a long time, but finally was able to, and it was actually quite a great moment to be able to do that. Very freeing to be able to realize that that's what I'd done, and actually a very great lesson to be, if you can actually see the truth, no matter what it is, if you can actually see the truth of it without getting all upset about it, then that's actually a tremendous lesson to be able to experience. So turn them off. Don't have anything to do. They're liars, and they're getting worse because the society in general is getting worse. People, all your people around you, there's a huge number of people around us that want to be lied to, and it could be your close relatives. Excuse me. It could be your close relatives, your friends that make up that population that want, that, you know, they may look like they don't want to be lied to, or you may think they don't want to be lied to, but they want to be lied to. They want the lie told to them. And of course, the lie, you know, the if you're lying to yourself and you want others to lie to you, then you're going to have the greatest liars of all are going to be the ones that are doing the lying, and they're going to end up on TV. They're going to end up with it, you know, in the religious realm, they're going to end up with the big ministries and the TV and the radio presentations. You know, because they're the greatest ego suckers. And that's basically what an ego sucker is making you feel good about yourself when you're rotten. Uh-oh, phone's ringing.
The other one also had, like I said, was related in that it basically forbade, I think if it passed, it forbade bills that, like Issue 3. So even if Issue 3 would have passed, if 2 passed and it did pass, it would have basically null and voided the Issue 3. So in the case of Issue 2, it also passed. So basically, they can put ballot agendas on the ballot. We can vote on it as a state again, but it must be an equitable bill. It must be a fair bill that will let anybody who wants to open a business open a business. So what is even funnier is that even the pro-marijuana groups in Ohio were against this bill, believe it or not. So the media has completely twisted this. So I look for, if this goes to ballot again, they're going to try and twist it again and again and again. And that seems to be their mission, and one of the reasons why I don't watch them anymore. No, you don't watch the news. I know you don't do any reading about it, with exception of maybe reading independent sources every once in a while. But just thought I'd love to hear your comments on that. So. And in a related note, Samsung's brought out their new Galaxy View tablet, and I'm semi-interested in it, but I'm not 100% there. The biggest thing that interests me about it is that it's an 18-inch tablet. It's not really one that's made to be moved around. It's more moved around the house, but not one that you would
you can take it with you on a trip if you wanted to. But it's not one that you would like use on the airplane or anything like that. I'd love to buy that thing. It's actually decently priced. It's what the, well, kind of. It's 18 inches and it's about $500. It's got an octa-core processor on it. But the big thing that kind of turns me off about it is it's only 1080p. Probably doesn't matter in a screen that size now that I'm thinking about it, but I just go thinking more and more that it might just be better to do the Surface Pro.
All right. Well, thank you, Joel. So you pretty much got my comments on the news thing before the phone rang. Now, regarding these big tablets, I was kind of aware that they existed. And then when I was kind of doing, you know, kind of researching recently, you know, for this Surface Pro 3, as well as looking at, and especially looking at the all-in-ones, I noticed that Best Buy now has, it's called a, I hadn't seen the thing about the Samsung one, but there's this tablet, it's called Big Tab or something like that, and I'm not sure what the resolution is, and it's like a giant Android tablet, and I think it was like 24 inches or something. So but the idea is that you could use it as a game board, for example, is sort of the idea, or at least one of the ideas, even though this one they had set up in Best Buy, it was set up kind of like a big, you know, like an all-in-one. It was set up at kind of like an all-in-one on their display. And it had a, you know, I don't remember what kind of processor it had. It was Big Tab, I think, was the brand name or something very similar to that. And it was an Android. Obviously, it had the Google Play Store and all of those things. So, I suppose that something like that would have a place, and I could see those things are kind of fun, at least looking at them. I remember a few months ago watching a presentation on HSN, and they had a, I don't remember what the brand was, but it was a big tablet, and they were presenting it on the air, and you know, I could see the appeal of something like that, especially if you were going to play, you know, have multiplayer board games, then something like that, I could see where it would be appealing, because then you would have, you know, imagine playing something like Monopoly on it, where it becomes the Monopoly thing, and then it's sort of a virtual Monopoly game without the physical paper in plastic pieces. So I could see where something like that could have an appeal. And people that play games, but I don't do games, really. The closest thing to a game that I do is Words with Friends. And that's not really for the game aspect so much. I just, sometimes I like to just figure out what words will go where, you know, with the letters that I have. And I've been doing that for a long time. I don't, you know, there may be two or three days that go past before I respond. So, but the great big tablets, I don't know, 18 inches at 1080p wouldn't be too bad. Now, see, the all-in-one that I bought, the Lenovo that I bought for home, it's a 1080p screen, basically, and it's 21.5 inches, and it's fine. That works just fine at a 21-inch. That's fine. Now, it's not as high resolution, obviously, as this, as far as pixels per inch, having a brain fart. Surface Pro 3 obviously has a lot higher pixel density, But even a 1080p at 21.5 inches is fine. It's perfectly readable. And I suppose if I really got up there with a magnifying glass, I might be able to see the pixels, but it's fine. So, and now I don't know the Samsung, I don't know if they're really aiming at the gaming thing or if they're just trying to make it more of a kind of an all-in-one type approach. The problem that I would have with, I would not buy, unless you're going to do media consumption, and that's really what you're going to do with the tablet and apps, unless you just want to interact with Facebook, that goes back to that problem. It's just a tablet. It's, you know, and it's just running apps. And those apps do have a place, but you're not going to be really productive with it. And that's always where I end up going with this stuff, is especially the more expensive it is. I have no problem if something is inexpensive and it's just going to be a media consumption device, then that's what it is. But, or if that's all that I know that it is, but then any kind of computing device, I always end up finding myself trying to turn it into something, you know, to make it more productive or kind of turn it into something that it's not. And I think that's, you know, so that would be my problem with a giant tablet, unless you're going to play board games on it. It's just a media consumption device, and as such, it could end up being, you know, $500. Is that expensive for a media consumption device? Well, I don't know. It could be. But do you, you know, either, it just sort of depends on what your expectations are. I would, personally, I will not buy any, you know, if I buy another tablet, I'm not going to spend more than a couple of $100 on it. And, you know, I've got, still have my iPad Air, which should last several years more. And I use it to watch videos on. That's kind of its fun. Sometimes I'll get on there on the Amazon app and look something up or whatever. But that's kind of its, and maybe look at the email or something. But that's watching YouTube especially, or just watching Netflix or something like that. Hulu Plus, Amazon. That's what its function has kind of turned into. And that's really what it's really good at, is kind of watching those videos. So that's what I use it for. The Samsung tablet that I have up on my dash. I listen to podcasts with it. I have it hooked up to a Bluetooth speaker. Listen to podcasts with, you know, listen to audiobooks with it as I'm driving, podcasts while I'm driving. Look things up, use it as the navigation function, satellite, the Google satellite images, Google Maps. Look things up. And if I just need to quickly look something up, there it is right in front of me, and it works good for that, and that should last for years more. And so if I ever have to replace either one of those, if I still need something to, you know, something like that to do navigation with or watch videos on, and that's what I'll use. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep using those as long as I possibly can, because they mostly, you know, they perform well for what I'm using them for. But as far as other computing stuff, since I've got the Surface Pro 3, I will not be using any of the laptop machines that I have. At home, I still have to decide what to do with it. The 17-inch MacBook Pro from 2007 to 2008, whatever it is. I should, you know, probably just sell it if I can, you know, just put it on eBay for a low price and see if anybody bids on it. And if they do, then, you know, put it at a ridiculously low price and make sure that, you know, I describe perfectly kind of what's wrong with it. The CD-ROM doesn't always work. It works, but it's not perfectly right. And the biggest problem with it is probably that stuck mouse key in the Apple trackpad, and you know, just make it clear that that's what's wrong with it, and put it on there for, let's say, put it on there for starting thing of a dollar or something, And hopefully, what I found is that, you know, when, back when I was doing eBay, and this would have been in, you know, right around 2000, or even, you know, probably in that era, I had all these things that I put on eBay, and I actually did pretty good with my auctions. And what I did, my strategy ended up being start the auction out at a ridiculously low price, like a dollar. And then that gets people emotionally involved. Make sure I entered the auction correctly so that people would be able to find it. And as long as people were bidding on things, I had a good chance of selling whatever it was. But started out at a really reasonable price and get people emotionally involved with the auction. And then maybe they'd buy it. Or, you know, and you could end up... You could end up, if people are emotionally involved in an auction in particular, you can get in people, or a product, a new product. Apple does it all the time. Get people emotionally involved, and they'll overpay. And that's true. I mean, you look at any auction, and there's always a danger that people will get so wrapped up that they'll overpay for something. They'll pay more for it on the auction than they would have been able to get it for otherwise, because they get emotionally kind of hooked in it. And do that all. So I don't know if there probably aren't as many people using eBay these days. I don't know, but maybe do put that on eBay. And then I've got the, I don't know, two Mac Minis and the Mac, you know, and then that white plastic MacBook and then an Asus netbook. So what to do with all this stuff? Maybe give it to my nephew or something. See if I can get him to take it. Get it out of sight, out of mind. I don't know. But at this point, I am really happy with the Surface Pro 3. Because it is a tablet. It is a touchscreen. It's a very reasonable form factor. Very super ultra portable. And yet ultra powerful. That's the biggest thing, is that it's so portable, and yet this is really powerful. It really makes minced meat of video rendering. It's amazing. So there's really no point in messing with another tablet. Now, like if my iPad were to die, I could just use this Surface Pro 3 in its place. You know, just to watch videos on occasion, then, you know, that's easy to do. So I wouldn't even need to replace the iPad with a, let's say, replace it with a Samsung. Wouldn't even really need to do that. Now, I'm not going to put the Surface Pro 3 up in the windshield and do navigation stuff with it, or, you know, look maps up with it. That's not going to happen. So I do need some sort of a tablet, at least as long as I'm driving a truck. Needs some sort of a tablet for that. That works really well for that. And so, you know, a couple hundred dollars, you can get something really decent. Because that's about what I paid for this Galaxy Tab 3, I think it's an 8-inch that I have. I think I paid around $200 for it. And I've had it now for a while, and really, really does the job. It works great. For what I use it for, it's not the fastest in the world, but it's decent. So, and I'm not trying to make it into anything that it's not, is the big point. It has its things that it does, and then that's that. But so I don't know that I would. These really large Android tablets look interesting, but I don't. I really wonder, unless you have lots of kids that are playing with it or whatever. I really kind of wonder, would it really be worth something, you know, because then, you know, there is the novelty factor of having a giant tablet. You have this novelty factor that is kind of the same novelty factor that existed with the netbooks. Oh, isn't that cute? It's a cute little computer. It's just so cute. It's just smaller. Cute little tiny miniature laptop. That's sort of functional, but it was the problem with the netbooks. Again, they sort of dangled the possibility out there of being able to do real productivity in a very portable package, but they weren't able to deliver because they were not, for the most part, they were not touch screens. And then the other problem that they had is they were really underpowered. And so that's kind of true with tablets. Even though they're running apps, the tablets are running apps, they're sort of underpowered at the end of the day because they're not running real applications. You can't put real software on it and do real stuff with it as far as productivity. And that really, I do my fair amount of consumption, media consumption, watching videos on YouTube, how-to videos, reviews, documentaries, etc. But when it comes down to doing things like writing articles or recording podcasts or actually doing something productive with the computer, tablets just don't get it. They can't do it. And they're underpowered, and then besides that, the operating systems just won't run real software. They'll run apps. There's a place for apps. I think the biggest place really for apps is in phones. That's the biggest place of all for an app is in a phone. That's the best place because then you've got something that you can put in your pocket. Like I have this Note 4, stick it in my pocket easily, and yet I've got these apps. I can check my bank, I can look at the cameras at home, I can check my email, I can look things up, do GPS stuff, look at satellite images, spend time on Facebook and all those kind of things, but I'm not, and I can even make, do some rudimentary productivity stuff, like of course the Note 4 has the stylus, and so I can, if I have a little idea, note or something, I can make myself a note, or if you have something like OneNote, then you can, and you're into the OneNote thing, and then you can do that on all kinds of different platforms. But, and especially in an app form. But when it comes to real productivity, you need real software. And I think I would opt for I would go for a tablet especially a Surface Pro 3 because, especially with the, i5, and I'm assuming the same would be with the i7. The i5 by itself is just really, a powerful, that makes for a really super powerful machine when you combine it with SSD. So, anyhow, thank you, Joel, again for the audio comment. Need to be cutting this off, and it's about 4:07 p.m., and so I'll another couple of hours I'll leave here and stop by that Love's truck stop up the road and probably get something, a sandwich, and then head on over to the place where the load picks up and then kind of check in with them and let them know I'm there, and then I'll probably watch some stuff on YouTube or wherever while I'm waiting, and then probably be, I don't know, maybe midnight, 1 o'clock or later before I get out of there. It's hard to say. And then, I'll probably, depending, probably just come back here and take my break afterwards. So anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.